Thank you, Brian. Let me invite you, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, to open them to 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't have a Bible, we've got some pew Bibles at the end of each of the pews that you may want to take and use. I think the thing that I love the most about this season of the year is the latent good that comes out of people. It's been there all along through the year, but for some reason, people begin to show it more at this time. I just noticed several things in the weeks leading up to this day. You probably saw on the news or read an article in the paper about the Kmart stores, and there were a series of mystery benefactors who paid off layaway accounts for people. I saw on the news that around the country that the Salvation Army cattles each year, this time of year, receive a number of gold coins that people drop in each year. If you look on YouTube and see the flash mobs at all, you'll see a number of those flash mobs who transformed malls into cathedrals of praise. People are just more courteous for some reason this time of year. One of our classes here adopted a family and saw that they received all the things that they needed for their family on Christmas. We delivered just recently a number of beautifully wrapped gift baskets. Now, we don't do that any other time, but we do it this time of year. Today, probably more than any other day outside of Thanksgiving, families are gathered together. Gifts have been carefully selected and lovingly given. What is the magic ingredient that brings forth all this goodness and wonder? Well, in a word, it's love. People are simply acting more lovingly at this time of year than for some odd reason they do at any other time. And let me prove that to you. Look here in 1 Corinthians 13. This chapter, called the love chapter, the chapter that we read at the beginning, Paul starts off showing the supremacy of love. In verse 1 he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Love is greater than tongues. It's greater than any gift of oratory that any man ever possessed. In verse 2, he goes on to say, "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Love is greater than prophecy. Love is greater than knowledge. I don't care how smart you are or how many degrees you possess. Love is greater than that. Love is greater even than faith. Now, we know it's impossible to please God without faith. And he talks here about a faith that is so great it can even move mountains. But love is greater still than that. Paul will say it again at the end of this chapter. Faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest is love. What good is it to be able to remove mountains if you can't remove malice? And then he says in verse 3, "If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." Love is greater even than caring for the poor. And we know how important that is to the heart of God. Some folks use money instead of love. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Parents sometimes lavish material gifts on their children as a substitute for love. Paul says love is greater than becoming a martyr. False religions have their martyrs. There are people in our world today who will kill themselves in an effort to kill and hurt others. But what God is looking for, even more than those who are willing to die for their faith, are those who are willing to live for their faith and live lovingly. He talks about the nature of love from verse 4 onward. Love is patient. Some folks say, well, I just don't have much patience. Well, you might as well be honest and say, I just don't have much love. Love is kind. And kindness is best defined as courtesy, being mannerly in the small areas of life. Love does not envy. In fact, love, rather than being jealous, is supportive of others who do well. Love rejoices with those who rejoice. Love does not boast. Love is humble. Love can say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You may need to say that before the day is over. Love is not rude. And again, there are people who say, well, I'm the kind of guy, I speak my mind, and I'm just a plain-spoken kind of an individual. No, you're just rude. Rudeness is the opposite of love. Love is not self-seeking. Don't think about what you're going to get this year. Think about what you're going to give. And I'm not talking about what's wrapped up under a tree. I'm thinking about the gift of love, being loving in your relationships, offering the gift of love to those that you're close to. Love is not easily angered. Did you know that there's more domestic violence that occurs in this season of the year than at any other time of the calendar? Love keeps no record of wrong. It doesn't delight in evil. You ever known someone who had the scoop on everybody else in church or everybody else in town? And when you bring up a name, they can tell you all the bad stuff about that person. I was at a car dealership having my oil changed a number of years ago. And I met a lady. She was sitting there in the waiting room, and she told me that she was from a town about 20 miles from here. I won't mention the name of the town because I immediately said, well, we have some folks who've just come to our church from that town. And she said, well, what's their name? And I told her their name, and she proceeded to tell me everything bad that she knew about this couple. Now, at the end of that conversation, I felt sad. And I think probably some of the things she said about this couple were true. But I can tell you this, I went away having a much lower opinion of her than I did of the people she spoke of. In verse 8, Paul writes, love never fails. He says, prophecy will cease, tongues will be stilled, knowledge will pass away, but there's only one thing that's eternal, and that's love. Love will never fail. It will go on and on and on forever through all of eternity. Now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. You see, I won't need faith any longer once I see my Lord face to face. I won't need hope. Hope will melt away with the reality of my experience being there with Him in heaven. But love will continue through the ages. That's why Jesus, when asked, said the greatest commandment of all is to love. Love God. And the second commandment is like it, love your neighbor. Did you know that the greatest compliment anyone could ever give you is not to say that you are smart or that you are good looking or that you are talented or that you are wealthy or that it looks like you've lost weight? That's not the greatest compliment. The greatest compliment that anyone could ever give you is to say to you that you are a loving person. That's the greatest. That's the greatest compliment that can ever be given to any church. this church is a loving church. The identifying mark of a Christian, according to Jesus in John 13:35, is this: by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's how you can tell. Love is the greatest in any category that you want to put it in. Even in the area of motivation. Sometimes people ask me, well, why do you do what you do? I love what I do. But I tell you, the things that motivate me are not the things that some people might think. I love to see a healthy, growing, vibrant church, and I'm proud of this congregation. But that's not my primary motivation. I want to go to heaven someday. But that's not my primary motivation. Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians what his primary motivation was, and it's my primary motivation too. And I suspect if you'll stop and examine your heart, it'll be your primary motivation too. You know what Paul said it was? In 2 Corinthians 5:14, he said, Christ's love compels us. That's what made Paul get up and go. That's what made him press on when the going was hard. The love of Christ. That's the greatest. Nothing better than love. Throughout the years when I was in elementary school and then high school and then college and then on in university, I had a few teachers who were different from all the others. I didn't have many. I had a few. And these few loved me. And I knew it. And they expressed that love to me. And I'll tell you this. I worked harder for those few teachers that I knew that they really loved me. I worked harder for them than I did for all the other teachers put together. Love compels us. And when I came to understand Christ's love for me, it changed everything. And today, I can stand here and tell you, as many in this crowd can also tell you, I would do anything. Absolutely anything for Jesus because of His love for me. You know, that's the nature of love. In 1 John 4:19, we're told we love because He first loved us. You know, the people that I love the most in this world are the people that love me. That's the nature of love. When you're loved, you want to love back. And when I understand God's great love for me and the gift of His Son, it elicits that same kind of deep love in return. We love because He first loved us. You know what motivated the Apostle Peter? You remember that conversation Jesus had with him when he was so ashamed and so embarrassed because he had earlier denied his Lord, and there Jesus was out there and with those other disciples, and Jesus asked him that question, Peter, do you love me? I think it's interesting because he didn't ask Peter, do you love sheep? Do you love to feed sheep? No, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes. And Peter spent the rest of his life feeding the sheep that were entrusted to him. It's the love of Christ and our response to that love that motivates us and keeps us going. When we are loved by Christ and when we love Him in return, we will find the motivation to love and to serve others endlessly. And I'll tell you, in this church, we have a variety of ministries. And I can tell you that the primary motivation that fuels every ministry in this church or in any church is the love of Christ. Our response to what He's done for us. Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it to one of these, you've done it to me. And so I will serve people and I will care for people and I will help people because I know in doing that, I am loving Jesus who first loved me. Well, back to the beginning. What makes people act so differently this time of year? What is it that brings out all this kindness and generosity? The answer is love. More than any other time of year, people around our globe are remembering, even if only for a few days, the story of God's gift to mankind through His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Such is the power of the story of the babe in the manger, that when we are reminded, even by songs on the radio or by manger scenes in stores and in our community, it changes everything. You can't experience love and not want to share it. God longs for His people more than anything else to demonstrate love, to be a loving people. And not just in one season, not just on one day, but on every day that He loves us, for us to share this love abroad. This morning we're going to sing a song. And there may be someone here today who has never submitted their life to Jesus Christ. And I want to just be very clear this morning. There is nothing that God longs for any more than to have His love returned to Him. And that happens when we obey Him. Jesus has asked for those who want to return that love. He's asked them to submit themselves to Him. And today, if you're ready to give your heart to Jesus Christ, Jesus Himself said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." You can leave here today having made that circle complete, having received His love and having loved Him in return through your obedience. If you need to respond for this reason, if you need prayer, this is a church that prays. We believe in the power of prayer, and we will pray for you right now this morning before you leave to go home if you have a special need and want to let that be known. If you need to come, this is the time to do it while we stand and while we sing.